Chapter 37, The Bright White Light. It is as white as salt. I am walking on white sand. I can feel it between my toes. But when I look down, I have no toes, or legs, or body either. So instead, I have to imagine what I looked like when I had those things. And when I finally see myself, I am wearing jeans and a plaid shirt, and I am young. I am not walking as much as being led by my imaginary feet, and I am approaching the source of the whiteness, which is as brilliant as diamonds and as soft as wool, and in the whiteness I see figures. "Stay with me," I hear Adam Amigot's voice from far away. My Aunt Barbara is there with Uncle Bert. He was the beloved town doctor who delivered babies and accepted chickens as payment. He was a saint. They are standing beside a Christmas tree, under which is the Louisville Slugger I received when I was 6 years old. I see my first dog, Tracker, and drool drips off his big red tongue. And there is Anna, whom I last saw when she was 18, and I loved her, and we said we would be together forever. They beckon me toward them with outstretched hands, and I approach. "Stay with me!" But then a thought occurs to me, one that had never occurred to me in my whole life, that there is still unfinished work back in the real world. The fact of the matter is that I hadn't really done any work whatsoever back in the real world, and now I am starting to regret it. What if one of these jokers in this white world all of a sudden asked me what I accomplished when I was alive, and I have to tell him nothing. I just never got around to it. That wouldn't sound too good. I could just make up stuff, the way I did in the real world, but I'm scared that here they would know I was lying. So I decide I can't stay. I'll go back, do some sort of grand work, maybe back at SNL, and then return to these people and brag about my fine and finished work forevermore to all who will listen. And so I bid the dear departed adieu and turn on my imaginary heel to leave. "Stay with me." My Uncle Bert smiles tenderly. "Wouldn't you like to go with me to the deepest lake you can imagine, where we can spend the day trying to fool a trout with a bit of flying feather? Or perhaps we'll take Tracker and try to rustle up a grouse. How does that sound, boy?" "Stay with me." Well, it sounds pretty good, all right. But that's not what clinches it. What clinches it is Anna. I look at her and notice she is still 18 and that I'm 18 too. I remember our promise so many years ago that we would be together for all of time and our love would never die. But Anna was too gentle for the world and its cruel ways, and she jumped from a bridge on her 18th birthday. And so I decide right there that I will stay. I will stay here and hold Anna's hand, and we will walk together into the white, white light. As I approach my loved ones, I say, "Hey, where's Uncle Basil anyway, and Aunt Ida? Why, they were the most pious people I ever knew." They all fell silent, except for Tracker, who starts in with a low growl. And I remember, with a start, that Tracker had to be put down after he killed that infant girl. And hadn't there been talk around town that Uncle Bert, the beloved country doctor, may have spent years injecting patients with polio and not the polio vaccine? And then I remember the house fire that took the lives of Anna's parents a year before her suicide. That unsolved house fire. And this makes me recall that Uncle Bert never mentioned water in that deep lake of his. And that's when I began to hear the gnashing of teeth. "Stay with me." The whole bunch sets upon me and I scrabble backward, but it is no use. Anna is first to grab me, and she doesn't look young anymore. She looks dead. She grabs me by the hair, and Tracker dives toward my groin with his teeth bared. I move quickly to my left to avoid the hound's terrible bite, but I lose my footing, and I'm surrounded by a circle of the damned. Some guy who is a dead ringer for old Jack appears, and he smiles, and then raises up that Louisville slugger and brings it straight down, quickly and violently and directly, at my heart. I open my eyes and cough deep red blood onto the white snow. Adam Egan is directly above me, his sweat pouring onto me as he brings his entire weight down through the palms of his hands to the center of my chest.